एवं जनम निपतितं प्रभवाहि कूपे खामाभिखाममनुया प्रपतन प्रसंगात् कृत्वात्मसात्सुरसिना भगवन् गृहीता सोऽहं कथं नु वृषजे तव प्रीत्यसेवम्।
My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Is someone translating? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all benedictions he may have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the servant of his servant, Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandra charana sevi bhakta sanivas, janame janami hoy e avilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bharatu Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master, so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engaged in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. That is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham katam nu vrisaje tava bhritya sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master, who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jenatas Moy Sri Guruve Namaha. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Prahlad Maharaj is herein offering his most illustrious prayers of divine love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared so munificently in the form of a half-man, half-lion, Narasimhadev, specifically to give his devotee protection and pleasure. Prahlad Maharaj is so exalted that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead feels unlimited bliss hearing his prayers and his glories. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. He would daily go to the temple of Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri, and there he would hear Sri Gadadhar Pandit recite Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And when he would hear the glories of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be so blissful that he would ask Gadadhar Pandit to repeat that story again and again and again and again. Not only does the narration of the glories of such a pure devotee liberate and purify anyone who hears it, not only does it give us the proper understanding of the way we should live, Mahajano Yena Katha Sabandha, the way of understanding the Supreme Truth can only be ascertained by following in the footsteps of the great souls. But even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest of the great, can eternally hear the wonderful pastimes and chant the glories of those devotees who have surrendered their lives unto him. Prahlad was of such a character that when he was in the womb of his mother, he heard the instructions of Narada Muni, and from that time he surrendered his life to the instructions of his spiritual master, never even for a moment deviating. But here we find Prahlad Maharaj presenting himself as a most ordinary, common person. This is one of the most extraordinary qualities of the great souls, that however great they may be, never do they consider themselves great, but rather they consider themselves not only fallen, but quite ordinary and common. Prahlad Maharaj is comparing himself to every other conditioned soul in this society, that he was following the general populace. This is the path
to the blind well full of snakes, according to Prahlad.
Of course, society is created in such a way that there is so much social pressure that if you are not following the general populace, you are considered to be having some defect in your character, some disease in your way of thinking. After all, if everyone else does it, it must be good. If the society has accepted it, it must be acceptable. And to go against the grain of society is to become an outcast. And this is very, very painful to the heart when people speak of you and think of you in such a way. Your own family members, your friends, your colleagues in business or in college, people think there's something wrong with you. Why you are not doing this? Everyone does it. It is normal. You are not normal. And of course, in this material world, the goal of life is to be normal, to enjoy the way everyone enjoys. But when you give up those forms of enjoyment, it is considered, it is a great worry. We have seen sometimes relatives, they don't mind if their child goes to the military, where they're going to be shot at with guns and they're being indoctrinated with such a strict schedule to be a nationalist. You rise at a certain time in the morning. If you don't obey, you get beaten, you get punished. You're really treated like a slave in the military. And generally, relatives are very proud when the child goes to the military, even if they're risking their life. Or if they're going to take a vacation and travel all over the world where there are so many dangers, the parents say, yes, this is all right, this is all right. Or more dangerous than the military or practically anything else is for a parent to send their child to college in America. Then that's really dangerous. Usually they come back and they're just completely mad, westernized with all kinds of grossly materialistic, sinful habits. So parents don't mind that. But if they start chanting Hare Krishna at home, if they become too serious about, if they start giving up watching television, that's worse than joining the military. It's worse than going to the most dangerous places in the face of the earth. You're not watching television. You're not eating restaurant hotel foods. You're not eating onions and garlic and drinking tea. They become very worried, very concerned. Why? Because you're not normal. It's normal to be sinful. It's normal to completely waste your precious time of human life with useless endeavors. It's normal to risk your life for your nation. But it's not normal to give up sense gratification. And this is what they hate, that you're giving up sense gratification. And you're speaking of another world, a spiritual world. So if you follow the general populace, according to Prahlad Maharaj, your destination is guaranteed. That you will enter, you will fall, not just enter, but you will fall. There's a difference between the two words. You will fall into a blind well full of snakes. Prahlad Maharaj is telling us that that was what he is like. Actually, it was not at all what he was like. From the moment he came out of the womb of his mother, he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. There was no question about anything
for his own sense gratification. When he was only 5 years old, he was preaching the highest principles of Bhagavad Dharma. So he was completely pure from birth. He never wasted a single moment. When he was a little baby, he wasn't even crying for the milk of his mother. He was crying for Krishna. What kind of child is this? But yet, out of the natural humility of his heart, not just as a matter of trying to appear humble, but as a matter of expressing his true feelings about himself, he is presenting that he is a most fallen soul, that he's a common person, subject to all the frailties of a conditioned soul. But somehow, by the mercy of that great saintly person, Sri Narada Rishi, who was his spiritual master, he was saved from this blind well full of snakes. And therefore, he is expressing his eternal debt of gratitude to Narada Muni. And he is saying, my first duty in life is to serve him. How could I ever leave his service? That is a grateful heart. When one receives the mercy of the spiritual master and the great Vaishnavas who plant the seed of bhakti in our heart, following in the footsteps of Prahlad, we should know this is our first duty in life, to follow their instructions. Later on, Prahlad was married and he became a great king and he had so many responsibilities to his family, to his kingdom, to his society, to his own health and well-being. We all have these responsibilities. But yet Prahlad is explaining herein that whatever duties he may have, his first duty is to serve that person who has planted the seed of bhakti in his life. That person who has rescued him from following the general path of society toward the blind well full of poisonous snakes. And it is through this passage of Prahlad we understand the very essence of Vaishnava philosophy, the highest, purest philosophy. Why this is off? Devotees are... The Vaishnava philosophy is explaining that to be the servant of the servant of the servant is the means by which we can attract the heart of Krishna. Because Krishna is Atmaram. He is fully self-satisfied. He requires nothing from you. He is eternally receiving the love of Srimati Radharani, who is the ocean of unlimited devotion. What does he need us? What does he need anything? He is completely immersed in his ever blissful pastimes in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, and his partial manifestations are absorbed in ever blissful pastimes in Vaikuntha. In this way, the Lord is the reservoir of Satchit Ananda. So there's really nothing that we can do to attract Krishna, who is all attractive. What is our character? It is described in the Shastra how Krishna, when he saw himself in one of the bejeweled pillars of Dwarka, the pillars were like mirrors, but not glass mirrors, jewel mirrors. In Kali Yuga, we use glass mirrors, and we like to look at ourselves. But Krishna, he was walking by, and he happened to see in one of the beautiful pillars of Dwarka the reflection of himself. And he became so attracted. He became intoxicated with bliss, thinking, who is this beautiful person? It is me. Even Krishna cannot contain the ecstasy he feels by being attracted to himself. And that is why Krishna, no, not for me, for everyone. If you want, you can go around and fan everyone. Krishna is all attractive. In himself is all beauty, all wealth, all strength, all knowledge, all wealth, all renunciation. So we should not think ourselves great, that we can do something wonderful for Krishna. What is wonderful? If you take some water from the river Ganga and you say, Ganga Devi, because I am so charitable and because I am so merciful, I am going to offer you 1 palmful of water. Not only that, 2 palmfuls and 3 palmfuls. It is not that Mother Ganga is requiring the water. It is already her water. We should not think we are very great, we are very charitable, that Mother Ganga will die of thirst if I don't give her this water. She's completely self-satisfied. In the same way, what can we do for Krishna? Whatever we offer Krishna is coming from him. The only difference is when it comes from him, it's absolutely pure, and when it, after it goes through material ingredients and it comes through our hands, it's not exactly completely pure. So what is our position? But those devotees who have surrendered their lives to Krishna, they are more dear to Krishna than his own life. And if we serve those souls, if we become the servant or even the servant of the servant of such great devotees, then Krishna takes such notice that he is unlimitedly attracted to that offering. And in our disciplic succession, there are such great souls who have surrendered, dedicated their entire lives in the loving service of the Lord. And when we serve any connecting point within this disciplic succession, we are actually becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of all these great acharyas that we read about and hear about, who are so dear to Krishna. And by becoming such a servant of the servant of the servant, Krishna becomes most affectionately disposed toward that service and naturally feels a debt to anyone who is helping his devotee. Srila Prabhupada used the example that if you go to a rich man and offer him something small, he doesn't care. But if you offer that same small thing to his child and please his child, then that rich man will feel indebted to you forever because you have made someone he loves happy. In the same way, if we please the Lord's devotee, then Krishna feels indebted to us, and thus he bestows his great mercy upon us. This is parampara. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashaya vidhu. And even if we serve a devotee who is not completely pure, but if that person is dear to someone who is completely pure, that person, you are giving pleasure to that person, to the pure devotee, for serving his assistant, despite his faults. And by pleasing the pure devotee, Krishna is pleased. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. Today is the appearance day of one of the great acharyas of our disciplic succession, Srila Thakur Bhakti Vinod. And if we read the songs of Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur, or we study his autobiography or his writings, the amazing discovery that we will find is how he always presents himself and thinks of himself as the most ordinary common person. Not that, oh, I am Paramhamsa Acharya. Sometimes in the most intimate moods of his ecstasy, he actually reveals his eternal position in the spiritual world and how he descended to this world by the order of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, by Lord to assist in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But generally, he's presenting himself for two reasons in a very common way, as Prahlad Maharaj is in this verse. One is he presents himself as a common conditioned soul, reaching out for the mercy of the great Vaishnavas to teach us by his example how we should be. Because just like the example is given, when a teacher wants to teach the classmates ABC or basic addition and subtraction, the teacher will go to the blackboard and say, this is the lesson how to make an A. First you make line this way, then you make line this way, and then you connect the two lines with the line in the middle. That is A. Now, the teacher is going through the whole exercise in front of the student. It is not the teacher needs to learn how to make A. But it's going through the exercise the same way a student would to teach a student how to learn how to make A and B and C and D and all of these letters. Or in Hindi, it's ka, ga, ga, like that. So, in the same way, the great devotees of the Lord, their mercy is that they teach us how to perfect our lives. So they actually go through the basic standard devotional practices by which we can learn how to be devotees. And they pray in such a way to teach us how to pray. And the second reason is that such great devotees, they are genuinely humble. And a humble person, when he sees the greatness and the glory of the Lord, naturally thinks himself very fallen, naturally feels himself more conditioned even than the conditioned souls, and therefore feels himself to be the servant of all. Now, for the material mind that is conditioned, my material ego, it is very difficult, it is literally inconceivable to understand. If you are feeling ecstatic love of God, and you are above all material desires, and you're feeling compassion for all the fallen souls, how possibly, in that state of mind, can you feel the most fallen? How can you feel that you are lowlier than the lowest? How can you feel that you are full of lust and pride and envy when there is not a trace of it in your heart? Because we find, this is the great acharyas, they pray, I am full of lust and pride and envy and greed. Save me, Krishna. Save me, Guru Maharaj. Save me, O Vaishnavas. How is it possible that you can be so pure and so compassionate, in such ecstasy, and literally, actually think that you have all these bad qualities? But that is the reality. That is the reality of the humility of the soul. And that humility is the actual ecstasy that attracts Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if we read his beautiful poems, we will find he is always presenting himself in this disposition for the benefit of us and also to reveal the true glorious nature of his own humility. Common man, that's all. That is the way the great souls think. Sometimes our own Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he would present himself just to be one of the devotees. There is a story where Prabhupada was at an airport, and because he was there was hundreds of devotees gathered around, and he was sitting on a chair and everyone was sitting on the floor and they were having kirtans, and the whole waiting room was completely filled with devotees, the whole gate. And there were flights boarding, and the actual passengers who were meant to get on the flight, they couldn't get in. And it was a rule in the airport that only the passenger with ticket is allowed to sit at the gate. And the only person that had a ticket was Prabhupada and his personal servant. And all the other hundreds and hundreds of devotees, they had no tickets. They just wanted to be with Prabhupada to the last minute, because he was leaving, to the last second. So in this way, there was great anxiety amongst the management of the airlines and the airport, because no one can get on the planes. No one can get off the planes. And this was causing problems. So some of the managers of the airport authority, they came to devotees and they were saying, you have to move. You people have to move. None of you are passengers. No one can get in, no one can get out. You're holding up our whole schedule for the whole airlines, and that affects the schedule of every airport in the nation and in the world. Because all things are interconnected in this material world. So the devotee was hearing this person and just thought, this person's in Maya. Trying to take us away from Srila Prabhupada? This is simply Maya. So just completely ignored. Completely ignored. So then the airlines authority went to somebody else, another devotee, and was actually becoming very angry. First they were just respectfully appealing, but then they were becoming angry. You people have to move. You have to move. And they were just ignoring, because they were just going on singing in kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada was sitting, and all the devotees were just so happy to be with Srila Prabhupada. So it was going on, and then some superior managers started coming, and then several managers were coming, and none of the devotees would pay any attention to them. They were just chanting Hare Krishna and looking at Prabhupada. So these people were becoming very frustrated. So then the GBC. Actually, what happened is one of the presidents, it came to the attention of one of the presidents, and the president realized that if I get up, because somebody came to the president and told the manager, if I get up and announce that everyone has to leave Prabhupada, then these devotees are going to hate me. Not only are they going to hate me, but they're going to hate me, plus they're not going to listen to me. So it's better that I just don't say anything. But then he understood that actually this is not good public relations for our movement, and it's really not moral what we're doing, so I should talk to the GBC. The devotees will listen to the GBC. So He went and told the GBC that this is the situation. The airport's in great anxiety that we are blocking the whole gate. So the GBC understood. He was not a fanatic. He understood that we have to live by the rules of material nature. And he got up in a chair, and very loudly he announced, "This is an order coming from me. This is an order. All devotees must move out of this gate." And all the devotees just sat there. And then he said, "I'm telling you, this is an order. All devotees must move out of the gate." So completely in a totally humble mood, just thinking himself one of the devotees, Prabhupada got up and went out of the gate. It wasn't that he was trying to just lead everyone else, but he just felt that he's just one of the devotees. And he got up and he left. And then my godbrother, his name is Rupanuga Prabhu, he started calling out, "Prabhupada, not you, not you." "Everyone else has to go, but not you." But Prabhupada thought, you know what? I am not one of the devotees. I am one of the devotees. And then he somehow or other the devotees understood, and everyone left, and they somehow brought Srila Prabhupada to come back. So although he was accepting worship on behalf of God, he was accepting Vyas Pujas. I remember at New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. I had the fortune of being present there in 1972, and there was a very famous lecture he gave that some of you people may be thinking, what is this person doing sitting on this big throne, on this beautiful seat, accepting so much worship? He said, "It is not for me." He said, "It is for Krishna. It is for my Guru Maharaj and Krishna. I am just collecting." So although he accepted such a position as a service to his disciples, in his own heart he just felt himself to be a very ordinary common person, just trying to serve the Lord and serve his Guru. And this is the nature of the greatest Mahatmas, the greatest Paramhamsas. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sehishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was such a devotee, and through his beautiful prayers he has revealed all the truths of the perfection of life and how to achieve it. And his particular contribution to the lives of each and every one of us is so great. We can never calculate our debt to the mercy we have received from this great Acharya, Paramahamsa Sri Srimad Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Before every Srimad Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada told us to sing this beautiful bhajan, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Ballava Girivara Dhari, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Thira Banachari. Srila Prabhupada said this song is so wonderful that the whole spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan is included within this one song. Everything is there. The whole of Braj Bhumi is in this song. And he explained that this song was not only so perfect in its composition, but it was written by the supreme purity of the love of this great soul, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada sang this before each and every class, and similarly, his descendants for all time to come will sing this beautiful song before each class to put our consciousness and our mind in a proper state by which we can be receptive to hear and benefit from the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. we should know that when we're chanting Jai Radha Madhav before Srimad Bhagavatam class, it is not just a ritual. It is not just a kirtan. It is actually our acharya's recommendation that we should absorb our mind completely with all sincerity in chanting this beautiful, beautiful poem in order to prepare our consciousness to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And every evening, in every one of our temples throughout the world, we sing the Gaur Aarti, the song of the beautiful Aarti to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was also composed by Sri Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his ecstasy of love for the Panchatattva. We also, in many temples, Gaudiya Mats included, in the afternoon they chant the beautiful song for every arti, Yashomati Nandana, Brajabara Nagara, Gokula Nanjana Khan. Also a beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Every time within our line we take prasad, we offer a prayer. Sarira avidya jal jatendriya tahi kal. I don't want to disturb your minds by continuing this prayer until the appropriate time. But this is also a beautiful prayer glorifying the most exalted act of honoring prasad, which was written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when we read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, the commentaries are very much influenced by the wonderful, wonderful presentations by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In fact, the son, one of the sons of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for I believe it was about 5 years, he was posted in his government service in Jagannath Puri. And at that time, he writes how he was so much happy and blissful to be reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, to be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and how he would go to special places in Puri where great, great Vaishnav devotees would gather to have kirtan and to have wonderful discussions on Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he had a very high post, and he was very learned and very respected by all, it was his great, great joy to just humble himself and sit at the feet of these great devotees and learn from them. There was one kutir where Sanatan Goswami would stay, just near Siddha Bakula of Haridas Thakur. And there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would sit and visit these great, great, great Vaishnav devotees and hear from them and discuss Harikatha with them and have wonderful, wonderful kirtans with them. It was his pleasure. This is how he was spending most of his life in Puri. And every single morning he would bring his whole family to the Jagannath temple to have beautiful darshan of Lord Jagannath. And for so many hours they would spend worshipping Lord Jagannath every day. And it was there in Puri that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his mood of great compassion to all living beings, understood that it was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy which was the only hope in this age of Kali for the fallen condition of human society. And he himself had dedicated his life to propagating the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the congregational chanting of the holy names. Although he was such an empowered soul, still
he considered himself quite helpless. Therefore, he prayed to the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to send one of his own eternal associates to assist him in this great mission of propagating Nam Sankirtan and Krishna Bhakti. It is said that he prayed for a ray of Vishnu to come to give spiritual light in this world of darkness. And in fulfillment of his prayer, while he was living in the great Dham of Puri, that ray of Vishnu appeared as his own son to his wife Bhagavati Devi, and that child's name was Bimala Prasad, named after the deity of Bimala, which is in the Jagannath temple. It is the custom in Jagannath Puri that all the prasad of Jagannath is first offered to this deity of Bimala Devi. There's a nice story behind it. And then it is offered to the people. Later became Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, hand in hand, made his life and soul the mission of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was so fearless that he saw that unscrupulous people had somehow adulterated the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And although there were great, great pure devotees who had preserved the original essence and the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya, for the people in general, they were just seeing these show-off type Babajis and Sahajiyas who were engaging in grossly illicit activities and who were compromising and justifying the most unscrupulous activities in the name of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. They were simply hypocrites, taking things so cheaply, and it was ruining the name of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur stood up against all of them. Even though he was so gentle and so respectful to every living being, he stood up philosophically against all of them to establish the pristine truths of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. And he began to bring great emphasis and attention to those true saints who were truly following the highest principles of bhakti. And even the greatest renunciates would come to Bhaktivinoda Thakur considering him to be their guru. One such was Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Gaurakishore Das Babaji was considered the greatest renunciate on earth. And the love of his heart for Krishna was so great that practically everyone recognized that he was truly a Siddha Purush, a perfectly liberated soul in the highest principles of bhakti. And yet such a great soul as Gaurakishore Das Babaji, when in Navadvip, he would come practically every day to sit at the lotus feet of Bhaktivinoda and hear him discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Leela, and accepted Bhaktivinoda through his heart as his Shiksha Guru. This was the position. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 10 children, had so many responsibilities for his family, he made so many arrangements to get his children married. He made so many arrangements to reposition himself in various places because of various domestic responsibilities that had to be fulfilled. He was the most responsible father, the most responsible husband, the most responsible person in his administrative duties for the government. But yet,
he directed everything toward Krishna's service. And he was so highly respected and worshipped. He did not waste a single moment. Srila Prabhupada explains, these are the qualities of a truly great soul, that they do not waste a moment. Prabhupada told us that to weep and to cry, and even to make your hair stand on end and make your body color change and make your limbs tremble, with enough practice and a little yogic siddhi, you can do all those things. That is not the symptom of a pure devotee of the Lord. Because he wrote this in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada. Because these things could mislead you. The real symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord is one who does not engage in sense gratification that is not conducive to Krishna consciousness. One who is always humbly presenting the teachings of the previous acharyas. One who is always anxious to hear about Krishna, to talk about Krishna, and always anxious to chant Krishna's names. And especially a person who does not waste a single moment in his life, but keeps his attention always to maximizing his service to the Lord in every condition. We should not waste time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur represented this to its fullest extent. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually fought against so much immorality, against so much hypocrisy, and was victorious, and brought the truth of Lord Chaitanya's mercy to the world again. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, of all his children, he very specifically made his life and soul to carry on the mission of his father. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was a great sannyasi, the greatest of sannyasis. And the first Gaudiya Math that he established at 1 Ultadanga Junction Road, it was named after Bhaktivinoda. It was called something like Bhaktivinoda Bhajan place, something like that. But it was Bhakti Siddhanta named his first temple he ever opened after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father and Shiksha Guru, because he was dedicating it to carrying on his mission. And it was at that place named after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, dedicated to Bhaktivinoda, that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami first met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And when Srila Prabhupada was bowing down, he was a young man, he had just been married, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati repeated the message of Bhaktivinoda to him. The mission of Bhaktivinoda was to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings out of compassion to the whole world. And actually Bhaktivinoda was the first acharya in our line who actually really, in the English language, which is the universal language on earth, began to propagate Lord Chaitanya's teachings. When Bhaktisiddhanta followed, and when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he gave him the order of Bhaktivinoda. Gave him the mission, that you are an intelligent young man, you take these teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the English language for the benefit of yourself and the whole world. And Srila Prabhupada took that instruction as his life and soul. And through his most wonderful devotional offering to the Lord, we have all been given the opportunity to perfect our lives in Krishna consciousness. So we should very gratefully bow our heads at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on this very, very holy and auspicious day, and pray for his causeless mercy.
that we can always be the humble servant of the servant of the servant of His divine grace. And this will be the fulfillment of this wonderful prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. If Srila Prahlad Maharaj's wonderful prayers to the Lord can induce us to follow in His footsteps and very humbly consider ourselves most fallen and pray for the mercy of the great souls and make a vow to never leave their service, then Srila Prahlad Maharaj's prayer will have actually been received within our heart, and that will be our supreme fortune. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Another time. It's a long story. It's a very nice story, though. Any other questions? Yes? How to become a humble servant. Who's asking this? Haribo. That is the most important question in our life to be answered. How to become a humble servant. In order to truly be a humble servant, we have to have a heart that is pure. So we should chant the holy names very attentively every day. And we should read the holy scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and hear discourses as much as possible. If possible, every day. And we should live according to the principles that we hear from these bhakti shastras. And we should pray to Krishna to always give us the strength and the intelligence by which we are trying to please the Vaishnavas. Humble servant, we should accept the proper spiritual master. We should follow his instructions. That is the beginning of being a humble servant, to follow the instructions of the spiritual master and to assist all other Vaishnavas in their service to the Lord, to be their servant, to assist them in their service to the Lord, and to also assist the fallen souls by serving them, by trying to somehow bring them to the path of bhakti. And never to expect any honor or glorification in return for our service, but always be anxious to glorify others. And if we perform this austerity in life, then we will be humble servants. Hare Krishna. Is there any other questions? Should stand up and loudly ask this question so everyone can hear. It will not be boasting. It will be face
the Vaishnavas.
When two devotees are talking to each other, sometimes other devotees come and ask us about our activities. So, on one hand, we are very afraid whether we can tell about all our activities to others, because it may become boastful when we think they are boasting about their activities. In our ISKCON youth forum, sometimes we make big displays of the photographs and all our activities. So, we just wanted to know that is it also a part of the boasting?
If you are trying to present yourself as being very great, savior of humanity, then that is boasting. But if you are trying to create propaganda to attract people to the dignity of Lord Chaitanya's movement, that is not boasting. Srila Prabhupada would often, very often, he would tell about the wonderful things going on in Krishna consciousness movement. I remember one time in Bombay, he was saying that our society is earning 3 lakhs every day of rupees. Because he knew the people in Bombay are so struggling for money. He understood that this would impress the people of Bombay. He said, just in selling books, nothing else, we are earning 3 lakhs every day just in selling books. And the person, everyone was going, oh, he was. And so many temples. So we should understand that when we glorify the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement, we're glorifying the mercy of our guru. We're glorifying the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We're glorifying the efforts of all the devotees worldwide, or all the devotees local. And by doing so, we're trying to show people the wonderful nature of Krishna consciousness to attract them to also come and become a part. So that is not boasting. That is preaching. Transcendental propaganda for preaching is actually an act of compassion. But if you talk about yourself, that I am the doer, it is because of me that this is happening, then that is boasting. If you present it as the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the hard work of so many devotees, the hard work of all of you, this is wonderful. This should be done. We should glorify the service of the Vaishnavas. We should glorify the successes that are taking place in Lord Chaitanya's movement, because that will give people an appreciation, and that is important. But you should never present it in a way that you are the doer. That will transgress the principle of humility. Does that answer your question? Yes?
Just a comment similar to what you said. Srila Prabhupada once said that Krishna consciousness is such a good business. I started with 40 rupees and now I have 40 crore rupees in a period of few years. The whole temple is worth more than 40 crore rupees. So what better business can be there?
He said that in Bombay too. He would speak in such a way according to the audience. Kaladesha Patra. That's why he built such a nice temple in Bombay. Because he knows the people are so materialistic, for them to take the philosophy and the science of Krishna consciousness seriously, they have to be impressed on a material level. So Srila Prabhupada didn't care about impressing people on a material level, but he would do whatever was necessary to bring them to the lotus feet of Krishna. That was his love, his kindness. He's asking how to
how to maintain healthy atmosphere in a group of devotees. Healthy atmosphere means Krishna conscious atmosphere. We should not break the four regulative principles. We should not waste our time doing nonsense or talking nonsense that are not favorable to Krishna consciousness. We should have kirtan together, harikatha together. We should read books together. We should take prasad together. We should discuss and act in many ways to try to propagate the mission of Lord Chaitanya. We should be utilizing our times to help one another to become purified and to make nice arrangements to bring other people to Krishna consciousness. We should not make offenses. We should not criticize. If you're Krishna conscious, then you will create a healthy atmosphere. If you are not Krishna conscious, then it will hardly even be the association of devotees. Association of devotees doesn't mean that we're wearing saris and dhotis and kanti malas. It means that our behavior and our words are conducive to purifying each other and purifying the world. That is real satsang of devotees. Yes?
Why is it that animals don't have any karmic reactions?
Animals, that's all they do is have karmic reactions. The question is, why is it that animals have no karmic reaction? Every moment of the animal's life is nothing but karmic reactions. But they do not produce new karma. They're simply getting the reactions of old karma. When you come to the human life, you have the opportunity to create new karma. But according to what you have done in your human life, you have to pay the consequences, and the animals are simply paying the consequences. Yes? How much could you see if we take away your glasses, your spectacles? Huh?
Not perfectly.
Not perfectly. So you cannot even see ruts right in front of your face without the help of spectacles. How much could you see if not only we took away your spectacles, but we took away your eyes? How much could we hear if we took away your ears? How nicely could you speak if your tongue was taken away? What could you do if your movement, if you became paralyzed? Did you create your eyes? Did you create your ears? Did you create your brain? Did you create anything? These are all gifts of the Lord that He is allowing you to utilize for His service. And if it was not, as Prahlad Maharaj's brain, if it were not for the spiritual master, we would be misusing everything. If it wasn't for the Vaishnava devotees giving us guidance, all these gifts of the Lord we will only be using to create worse and worse karma, to go deeper and deeper into the pit of snakes. Huh? So therefore, whatever good we can do for others, we should understand it is only by the grace of the Lord and His representatives that we have the power to do it. Why should we take credit for something that doesn't belong to us?
If your father gives you 1 crore of rupees to give to your brother, says, deliver this for me, and you give it to the brother, and then you tell the brother, you should bow at my lotus feet because I have given you 1 crore of rupees. Is that sane? That's crazy. You have nothing to do with it. You're just delivering. It is not yours. So similarly, whatever good you can do for another on any level, it is all by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives. So why should we take credit? Why should we boast to people that I have done this? This is illusion. This is illusion. We should give credit to Krishna. And we should give credit to those representatives of Krishna who have helped us so much. That is humility.
What should be our mentality when a devotee glorifies us in front of ourselves?
What should be the mentality if a devotee glorifies you in front of you? You should not say ki jai. You should understand that this is just the kindness and the mercy of this devotee to encourage me in this way, but actually the real glory goes to the person who is so kind to say these things, and to the senior Vaishnavas who I am endeavoring to represent in my life. Yes?
Oftentimes we see that in our dealings, in our day-to-day in our talks, we try to imitate these great acharyas in their words, how they have spoken about themselves. In our hearts, we know that we are not actually so humble and pure. But still, we try to imitate the words of these great acharyas. So how far it is proper in us to be, try to self-signify ourselves so much and speak in those words?
The question is, sometimes we try to imitate the great acharyas by repeating their words. How much should we try to imitate? We should not imitate, but we should follow in their footsteps. Yes, we should repeat the words of the great acharyas, and we should try to repeat the sentiments of humility of the great acharyas with our words, but we should also be endeavoring to cultivate within our heart, not to be seen as a great acharya, but just to be following in the footsteps of such great acharyas. That is one of our austerities in life, to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Even if we don't feel like it, we should present ourselves to others as Prahlad Maharaj is presenting himself. Because it is truth. It is truth. We may feel very egoistic, but we know with our intelligence that it is not true. Actually, I am a fallen soul. So we present ourselves as a fallen soul, even though we think we're very great, because we understand that it is the truth. And we pray that we can someday realize these truths and become real devotees. So we should not imitate for prestige or glorification, but we should follow in their footsteps for our purification and for the purification of others. Yes?
Suppose if it is not exhibited, you know, through our activities and our dealings with others, then is it proper for us to speak these words?
like because of our past conditioning.
You have to be specific. This question is so general that it cannot be answered.
Like our humility is not exhibited in our words and our day-to-day dealings with our devotees. But still, you know, when it comes to speaking in circles and it comes to speaking about ourselves, we speak.
But you have to understand that to follow in the footsteps of the great souls doesn't simply mean to speak, it means to act also. You cannot separate the two. If your idea is I'll do whatever I feel like doing, but I'll speak like the great souls, that is not following in their footsteps. That is nonsense. You should act as an austerity, you should act with humility, and you should also speak with humility. A sincere devotee will live according to his words. Does that answer your question? What our heart is might be something different, but as an austerity, we live according to our words. And gradually, that will purify the heart. Yes? We should see that every Vaishnava is very dear to Krishna, and we should respect every Vaishnava. We should not calculate by our material consciousness, because then we will make offenses. Even the person sitting right beside you, who's a newcomer, who's learning from you, might be a very, very exalted Vaishnava who's just coming back to Krishna consciousness. But he may be thousands of births ahead of you, even though you're teaching him that you're not this body. So you should be very careful to honor everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness. The question is, sometimes we feel ecstatic and sometimes we feel dull in our devotional life. How should we feel?
How should we remain enthusiastic?
Because we are not attached to our own ecstasies or our own miseries. We are attached to pleasing Krishna and pleasing Guru and pleasing Vaishnavas and being compassionate to needful souls. This is our life. So we should act and behave in such a way that we are faithful to the desire of Krishna. And we should not be concerned with how we feel, because feelings are always changing. The mind is a turbulent entity. It is constantly influenced by the three modes of material nature. So we should not take the mind seriously. We should, with our intelligence, always adhere ourselves to doing the seva of God, of Krishna, as coming down. And whatever our mind's particular feeling is at the moment, we should disregard it. And we should remain steady and faithful in our service. And through this process, we gradually transcend the mind and purify the heart. And then we can experience real ecstasy beyond all misery.
Why jnanis and yogis not attain that eternal bliss?
Why jnanis and yogis do not attain eternal bliss? Because eternal bliss comes by the grace of Krishna. Eternal bliss comes when Krishna reveals his mercy in our lives. And the jnanis and yogis, they do not want Krishna's mercy. The jnanis and yogis want something else. They either want liberation, or they want some mystic yogic powers to control others. So Krishna gives them that if they pay the price. But only a devotee is longing for eternal loving service. And it is only in eternal loving service that there is ecstasy and bliss. Yes. Prabhupada said a Vaishnava is soft like a rose and hard like a thunderbolt. To those who are receptive, we are soft like rose. But to teach others, according to the need, we can be hard like thunderbolt. But we are doing it as a service to that person. We are not doing it to lord it over that person. We are not doing it to defeat someone. We are doing it to establish truth where there is illusion. Arjuna fought. His humility was to fight. So similarly, our humility is to fight when there is a injustice done to the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada would become like a lion if someone was propagating Mayavad philosophy to defend the truth, like Arjuna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was sometimes known as Singha Guru because he would be more ferocious than a lion to anyone who tried to adulterate the highest truths. And yet he was more humble than a blade of grass. So we must stand up and be bold to defend the truth. That is our duty. Yes? You have to preach according to time and circumstance, what is most effective. If someone is atheistic and not willing to listen, you should not waste your time with them. Better you give them prasad. But if he's propagating his atheism in front of others, for the sake of the others, you should defend. One time someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, I am God. And the person was intoxicated. So Srila Prabhupada could see there was no use speaking philosophy to him. So Prabhupada said, please accept my respectful obeisances. Oh Lord, please accept my respectful obeisances. The person was shocked. He was expecting, because he heard that Prabhupada did not accept these philosophies. So he said, Oh Lord, please accept my obeisances. And the person was so so happy that Prabhupada accepted him as God that he asked Prabhupada to teach him about Krishna consciousness. And then after hearing, he understood actually he wasn't God. And he became a devotee. He's still a devotee. He became temple president. So many temples. He was also naked, without clothes, when he came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in a place, and this person came down from a tree without any clothes on, and he said, "Swami, I am God." He was intoxicated. Prabhupada said, "Oh, my Lord, please accept my respect for that." He was thinking, this great guru has accepted me as God. I should hear from him. And then he heard from him. Then he realized that I'm not God. I'm the servant of the servant. And he became a nice devotee. So we should use our intelligence so that the purpose of our preaching is not just to beat people. It's to change people's hearts. And we should do whatever is required to change a person's heart. Yes? You should not think that you're humble, but you should think that you're trying to be humble. That is good. Is there any other questions? Yes? The question is, if we're advancing with advanced devotees and we start to take them for granted and see them as ordinary, should we stop associating with them? That is your question. It is the nature of our conditioned mind that we see everything in a material way. Because the mind is the mirror of our own consciousness. And if we are envious, we will see envy in others. If we are egoistic, we will see ego in others. If we have a very mundane consciousness, we will see mundane consciousness in others. That is our tendency. And the closer we become to someone, the more they begin to reflect the condition of our own mind to us. That is why it is said familiarity breeds contempt. Because in material life, there's so much animosity and impurity in people's hearts. And the closer you get to someone, the more they start reflecting your own consciousness to you. And it becomes contemptuous. So in the sense of advanced devotees of the Lord, we should understand that without their association, we cannot ever come out of this condition of consciousness. It's through their association that we can be elevated. So we must associate, but we should learn to associate in a way in which we come before them as a servant. Not that we joke with them, and we should not be so informal with them. We should very carefully guard against those tendencies. You should associate with them, but make some form of respectful distance in your relationship as far as your behavior. Distance means keep respect. Do not become overly intimate with people who are very senior to you, because then our tendency of our mind is to take them to be like us, very ordinary. And senior devotees, sometimes they're so humble, they'll just be like you. That is their nature. They're not trying to make some profile. So we should keep that respectful, protective guard in our life. Does that answer your question? Prabhupada said it's good for the person touching the feet, but it's very bad for the person whose feet was touched. What is the reason? Because you transfer your karma to the person you touch the feet of. So Prabhupada said, even to the spiritual master, only initiated disciples should ever touch the feet. No one else should. Because otherwise, people who are insincere, who have no desire to take to Krishna consciousness, they just put their karma. And it becomes actually a very great disturbance and obstacle to their preaching. So we should not be so selfish to be just unloading your karma on others. Yes, but we should understand that the real meaning of touching the feet is to follow the instructions. If we follow the instructions of the great devotees, that is really touching their feet.
Yes. There is also another meeting with my wife, students.
So you're telling me to stop.
They have written some questions, list. So those questions.
Krishnananda, Krishna orders. End here. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Thank you very much.
Jai.